PFOA, also known as C8, is found in thousands of household products, including carpeting, Teflon pans, waterproof clothes, dental floss, kitty litter, and cosmetics. Companies that produce C8 knew it might be toxic as early as 1954, but it's only voluntarily been phased out now. Mariah Blake, a Murray Martyr Nieman Fellow in Watchdog Journalism at Harvard University, investigated DuPont's history with C8 and how it covered up the fact that the chemical poisoned untold numbers of employees, residents, and animals that lived near the Washington Works factory where C8 was produced. Her article for the Huffington Post Highline is called Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
What kinds of qualities does C8 have that makes it such a versatile chemical?
Well, it makes things slippery and stain-proof. So basically, anything out there that is stain-proof, water-resistant, or non-stick probably has C8 or a related chemical in it.
And you describe it as a soap-like substance?
Yes, and it's made in the manufacture of these products. DuPont would tell you that it is not in the finished product, but in fact, according to internal DuPont documents, it is in the finished product in many cases. So in the case of clump-proof kitty litter and dental floss, some of the examples that you mentioned, until recently, many of those products actually had C8 in them.
So when I was cleaning my teeth, I was putting C8 into my mouth?
Possibly.
What's it derived from?
It's a chemical. The C stands for carbon, but it's part of a class of chemicals that have these properties and that take a very long time to break down in the environment.
Can you briefly explain what kinds of health risks it's been linked to?
It's a very long list, but some of the health problems it's been linked to include liver problems, thyroid disease, various types of cancer. It actually suppresses the immune system. It's been associated with osteoarthritis. It causes certain hormonal effects, including decreased testosterone in animals. And a researcher from Harvard has actually found that it hampers the effectiveness of childhood vaccines, even at levels many times lower than the EPA has deemed safe.
And part of your story involves birth defects.
Yes. Well, and the evidence on birth defects is mixed. But there was, so DuPont and 3M, which initially manufactured this chemical, found that it caused birth defects in the eyes of unborn rats in the 1980s. And these findings alarmed the companies enough that they actually pulled all of the women who worked in areas of the factory where they could come into contact with C8. They pulled them off the factory floor or moved them into other departments. And DuPont began secretly monitoring pregnant women or women of childbearing age who had come into contact with C8 to find out, according to one internal memo, the goal was to find out whether C8 causes, quote-unquote, abnormal children.
Now, it's been on the market for over 50 years. Were the 80s when scientists first began to raise red flags about it?
Well, most of the research that was done until quite recently was done by industry scientists. And in fact, DuPont employees began raising concern about this chemical in the 1950s. As early as 1961, the company had data showing that it was toxic to animals, so it caused enlarged livers and other symptoms that are indicative of toxicity. And in fact, DuPont's chief toxicologist warned in 1961 that this substance should be handled with extreme care. I should probably note that 1961 was also the year that DuPont began marketing Teflon to the general public. So even at the time that it first began marketing these products to the public, it knew that it could potentially harm human health.
Now, weren't they concerned at all about liability?
They were concerned about liability, and that comes through in some of the internal documents. I think the thing is that they didn't realize until much later how widespread the chemical had become and how much the general public had been exposed to it. And at that point, there was actually a meeting in 1982 where they discussed liability issues, and they determined that they were already liable for 32 years of manufacturing the chemical, so it wasn't worth the effort or cost to institute additional safety precautions, because the additional liability would be, the term they used was incremental.
The Teflon-coated Happy Pan was a huge success when it hit the market. At the time, DuPont's chief toxicologist said C8 should be handled with extreme care, and yet they were marketing this frying pan for everybody.
That is correct. And in fact, it would grow into a $1 billion a year industry. So people think of Teflon as something that's on pans, but actually there is a sprayable version of it that's on, for example, Stainmaster carpets. This product is in Gore-Tex, or was in Gore-Tex until this phased out last year, which is waterproof fabric that's used in ski clothing. It's completely ubiquitous.
And the chief toxicologists seem to be more concerned about the risk to the people who work in the Teflon plant than to consumers?
Well, I think that was initially the concern, because it was believed at the time that much of this chemical burned off during the production of Teflon pans. So at the time, the concern in the 1960s was primarily about exposure for employees, for the general public.
Much of the drama in your story involves the Tennant family in Parkersburg, West Virginia. When did DuPont approach them about putting a dump on their land? They didn't work for DuPont.
Actually, one member of the family did work for DuPont, although that is not in the story. But they are a family of farmers that has farmed the same plot of West Virginia soil for over 100 years. In the mid-1980s, DuPont approached them about buying a portion of their land to build a waste dump. And after some back and forth with DuPont, they agreed to sell this portion of their land. And shortly thereafter, they noticed the animals on their farm started dying. The cows started growing tumors and going blind. They started vomiting blood. Some of the family members, beginning in the mid-1990s, started having very serious health problems. They were being hospitalized with breathing problems and chemical burns. And the family was convinced that it was chemicals from the landfill that were causing these problems.
But hadn't DuPont promised them that there would be no chemicals in the landfill?
Well, DuPont had promised them that it would only be non-toxic materials, and they specifically talked about cardboard and scrap metal and ash.
My guest is Mariah Blake, a Murray Marder Nieman Fellow in Watchdog Journalism at Harvard University. Her article for the Huffington Post Highline, "Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia," opened a lot of eyes about what has been going on, pretty much a secret story until now, about this chemical known as C8. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Was there an investigation by local government agencies of what was going on in the Tennant farm? Because, as you said, animals were getting sick and they were dying, and members of the family were coming down with tumors and all sorts of other illnesses. I would have thought this, a lot of alarm bells would have gone off.
They did seek help from environmental agencies, and they really got basically nowhere. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection conducted an investigation. They found all kinds of problems with the landfill, including what they called erosion gullies that were channeling waste into this creek on the farm where the Tennant cattle were grazing. And what they ultimately did was they fined DuPont $250,000 and signed an agreement which barred them from taking any future action against DuPont at this particular site. So basically, the landfill was no longer regulated by state authorities. The EPA later launched an investigation. DuPont suggested that they work collaboratively, so DuPont assigned half of the scientists who were involved in the investigation. DuPont did not inform the government-assigned scientists that there was C8 in the water. And they came back with a report that basically found that it was deficiencies in herd management that had caused the cattle to die off.
And then it
so,
was
I mean
Yeah, so they blame the farmers instead of the C8.
They blame the farmers, and they did not even disclose to the EPA that there was C8 in the water, which was DuPont knew at the time that this was the reason that the cattle were dying off. And internal DuPont documents show actually that as early as 1991, insiders were raising concerns about the effect this chemical would be having on the water, on the cattle. So the levels in the water that the cows were drinking were 80 times DuPont's internal safety threshold. So this was the level of this chemical. DuPont knew that having these high concentrations of the chemical in the water could be extremely damaging.
It was only in 2000, and after they contacted an attorney, that the Tendon family connected C8 with what was happening on their farm. How was that discovery made?
So the Tendons eventually contacted an attorney in Cincinnati. They had a lot of difficulty finding somebody in their own community who would represent them because DuPont is such a powerful force in that community. And they filed suit against DuPont, and DuPont turned over boxes and boxes of documents about hazardous substances that are used at the Washington Works plant, which is the plant near Parkersburg. And none of this information seemed relevant to what was happening on their farm. And then at some point in August 2001, their attorney stumbled across one piece of paper that had the word, I think it was PFOA on it, but it mentioned that there was C8 in the landfill. And at that point, their attorney, Rob Ballot, requested more information about this chemical. And internal documents show that this basically touched off a panic inside DuPont. They knew that the jig was up at this point.
But the jig hasn't been up, has it? This story didn't become a big news story around the country.
No, it didn't. Well, and I mean, it unraveled slow. From that point on, gradually, as a result of that lawsuit and subsequent lawsuits, this massive conspiracy has come to light. It's a decades-long conspiracy to cover up the health effects of this chemical. But it really hasn't gotten much attention. Even in Parkersburg, the community where all of this is happening, most people don't know. Most people don't know that the water is contaminated and that DuPont has covered it up, although thousands of documents to that effect are now in the public record.
They also seem to be angrier with the Tennant family for going after DuPont, at least many of their neighbors, than they are angry with DuPont.
Yeah, that was a very, very interesting aspect of this story. So DuPont is one of the largest employers in this area, and people feel a fierce loyalty to the company. And I think there's this kind of coal mining mentality where people are willing to accept pollution and disease as sort of the cost of having a robust economy. So those who have stood up to DuPont have really been ostracized by other people in the community. And the Tennant family, in fact, told me that when they first filed their lawsuit, they would walk into a restaurant and everyone in the restaurant would get up and leave.
And they would say, you're going to lose me my job at DuPont.
That was the fear, yes. People were afraid that as a result of this, that DuPont would pack up and move to China or move some of its operations to China, and that a lot of people would lose their jobs and that it would affect the local economy.
When you spoke with people in West Virginia, were they hearing about all of this for the first time?
Some of them had a vague idea that this was going on, but most of them actually didn't know much about it, other than the people, obviously, who have been fighting this fight for the last 16 years.
But there are also people who worked at the plant who got sick. They must have been aware that something was going on.
It's very interesting because until the tenants filed their lawsuit, and there was subsequently a class action lawsuit, and until that class action lawsuit was filed in 2001, 2002, most people in the community had never connected the dots. So, for example, one of the people I spoke to, after they discovered the birth defects in the eyes of rats who'd been exposed to C8, they designated one person per shift in the lab at Washington Works to do all the C8 testing. All of those people have died, most of them young, of diseases that are associated with C8, but one of them is still alive. And I spoke to him, and he did not make the connection between the diseases that he saw ravage his colleagues and the chemical that they were exposed to until after he saw the headlines in the newspaper.
Did they just think that this was part of life, normal life, or were they engaged in some form of denial?
You know, I don't know. I think it's they just didn't put the pieces together until there was a headline saying this chemical may be toxic, and then all of a sudden the whole picture came into focus for them. And also, you know, people in neighboring water districts. I mean, there was this whole sort of process where all kinds of people who had been affected by this chemical suddenly realized that this was the cause of their suffering.
Was the company telling them that there was no risk?
Yes, the company was repeatedly telling them that there was no risk. The people who worked with this chemical, a number of them told me that DuPont had said it was safe as soap.
And since it looked like soap, they probably believed it.
Yes.
I'm speaking with Mariah Blake, a Murray Marder Nieman Fellow in Watchdog Journalism at Harvard University. Her article, Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia, it was in the Huffington Post Highline, and we will continue our conversation, look a bit at the history of all of this and laws and how it might impact our lives here outside of Parkersburg, West Virginia, after we take a little break. Stay with us. And we are back with Mariah Blake, who is a Murray Marder Nieman Fellow in Watchdog Journalism at Harvard University. We're speaking to her from Harvard. Her article in the Huffington Post Highline was Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia, and it tells the story of C8 and the dangers that it presents and the cover-up that we have seen over the years. Now, in the 60s and 70s, the public began to develop greater consciousness about chemicals in the environment. Silent Spring was a bestseller. But did it wind up only affecting DDT?
Well, I mean, very few chemicals have been banned in the United States, so DDT is one of the very rare examples. And although people are concerned about chemicals, the regulation of them is extremely lax. So as I mentioned in the story, only a handful of the 80,000 chemicals on the market have ever been tested for safety.
Despite the fact that Congress passed the Toxic Substances Control Act in 1976, something like C8 was grandfathered in?
Yeah, so when the Toxic Substances Control Act passed, all chemicals that were already on the market were grandfathered in, and there's no requirement that new chemicals be tested. So chemical makers have to inform the EPA that they plan to bring a new chemical onto the market, and the EPA has 90 days to determine whether that chemical is safe or not. They simply don't have the resources to test them all, and they don't.
But when that act was passed in 1976, people were already aware that C8 had been found to cause major problems in animals.
Well, DuPont and 3M, the manufacturer, were aware, but the general public was not aware. DuPont suppressed this evidence for decades, and it only came to light as a result of the lawsuits. So the lawsuits that the Tennant family filed, and then there was a class action lawsuit filed by the residents of Parkersburg and the surrounding communities after it was discovered that this chemical was contaminating their water supply. If it weren't for those individuals, we might not know today that that chemical is toxic.
Now, you mentioned some of the places we can find C8 in all of our homes. Can it be found in our bodies? Will my body have some C8 in it?
Almost certainly. So in the 1990s, 3M actually tested banked blood from around the world. They tested in remote parts of China, all over the United States, various locations, and they found that almost all of it had C8 in it. So the only blood they could find that did not have C8 in it was archived blood from Korean War vets that was collected in the 1940s and 50s.
And do we know what levels are safe? Does it accumulate in the body and stay there?
It does accumulate in the body. So one of the things that makes C8 so problematic is that it does not break down. It can stay in the body for decades once it's there, and also in the environment. So it builds up in the body, and it is basically at this point they have not found a level that is safe. So even very low doses have been shown to cause extreme health effects.
A listener has written in, if I've cooked my eggs every morning in a Teflon pan for the last 30 years, should I be concerned, especially since the bottom of the pan is a bit scratched?
Well, that's a bit of a tricky question. Teflon actually is one of the safer products because much of the C8 is burned out during the production of Teflon. Something like kitty litter is actually, you're much more likely to be exposed through something like kitty litter or dental floss. But there's also plenty of other avenues of exposure. So at one point, I think it was 3M as well, tested groceries, things like apples and ground beef, and found that C8 is everywhere in the food supply. It's in the water supply of many communities. And if people go to the Huffington Post Highline, at the end of the story, there is a link to a map where you can see if there's C8 in the water supply in your community. But so it's in the water, it's in the food, it's in the air, it's everywhere. I actually think the Teflon pan might be the least of her worries.
There's an awful lot of C8 in the water supply of surrounding towns. Around Parkersburg, have people been warned there about the amount of C8 in their water?
People have been warned now, and there's actually been a lawsuit and a settlement with DuPont. But the way that people learned that there was C8 in the water in Parkersburg and surrounding communities was through the tenants' lawsuit. So this family of farmers filed this lawsuit. The lawyer discovered that there was C8 in the Dry Run Creek, which is where their cows were drinking, and demanded more information. DuPont then was forced by federal courts to turn over more than 1 million pages of documents. And when the tenant's lawyer went through those documents, he discovered that there was C8 in the water supply of Parkersburg and the surrounding communities, and that DuPont had been monitoring this but hadn't disclosed it to federal regulators, as it should have done, and hadn't disclosed it to the community.
Are local politicians more likely to side with DuPont than with the people in their communities?
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that question. So much of this struggle has really played out in the courts rather than on a political level. Certainly, the regulatory agencies were not very proactive.
Well, you describe incidents where DuPont knowingly opened up collect pond drains, allowing C8-laden sludge to pour onto Dry Run Creek at 80 times DuPont's own internal safety limit. That sounds to me like there's a certain criminal liability in this story.
You know, and at one point, actually, the Justice Department opened a criminal investigation into DuPont over its activities in Parkersburg. I don't believe that went anywhere, but you're not the only one who has had those thoughts. I mean, certainly, you know, DuPont was ultimately fined $16.5 million by the EPA for suppressing the evidence that C8 is harmful to human health. And that is the largest fine in the history of EPA, but it is a pittance compared to what DuPont makes by selling C8 and related products, or made by selling C8 and related products. This is, again, a $1 billion a year industry.
DuPont has also hired Michael Rosen, who had been a partner at the law firm Feinberg Rosen, which administered the fund to settle claims arising from BP's Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Were there complaints about how the firm handled paying? There were concerns about what happened with BP. What's happening here? Are people happy with the way Rosen is handling this situation?
Well, so this is actually part of a larger pattern. So there's a class action lawsuit against DuPont. DuPont settled the class action lawsuit, and it involved the contamination of drinking water in Parkersburg and surrounding communities. And DuPont agreed to take a number of steps in order to remedy the problem, including installing filtration systems in the various communities to clean up the water. And one of the things that DuPont agreed to do was medical monitoring. So monitoring people in the community for diseases that had been shown to be linked to C8, and there's a number of them. And so Michael Rosen was brought in to administer that program over another organization that administered other programs in the community very successfully. And Michael Rosen worked for, as you mentioned, the New York firm that had administered the fund to pay out damages for the BP oil spill, and had come under very intense criticism for its handling of those payouts. Basically, there's been several lawsuits filed accusing the company of intentionally delaying payouts and then offering financially desperate claimants a fraction of what they're entitled to. And people in the community feel that Michael Rosen is doing the same thing with the medical monitoring program. So trying to prevent people from actually getting access to medical monitoring, and there is some evidence of this. So far, DuPont has paid Rosen more than $9 million to administer the program. But as of January, only $50,000 had been paid out for medical claims.
And the rest is just sitting in the bank?
I mean, DuPont only has to pay for the medical monitoring if people take advantage of the program.
My guest is Mariah Blake of Harvard University. Her article for the Huffington Post Highline is "Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia." It seems, from what you've been saying, that the only way to get anything out of DuPont any information or change on C8 has been through private litigation. Is that the only line of defense left?
Well, even private litigation has ultimately fallen short. I mean, because we have now a community of people who have really taken extraordinary steps to hold this company to account. And there's been this series of events. I guess one of the things that really struck me when I was reporting this story is just how many factors had to align in order for DuPont to be held even somewhat accountable. And the accountability is this settlement that they reached with the city of Parkersburg. But DuPont is finding ways to skirt its obligations under that settlement as well.
And you say also when they realized they had a certain amount of liability, it didn't matter anymore whether they continued doing what they did because they weren't going to have to pay any more.
That is correct.
Now, listeners have been calling in concerned on a very personal level. Should they filter their water? What can they look for to avoid C8?
This is a very difficult question because it is so ubiquitous. One thing listeners can do is the Environmental Working Group keeps track of which communities have detectable levels of C8 in their water supply. So you can consult the Environmental Working Group. There are ways to filter it out of your water. But as I said before, it's been found in ground beef, in apples, in all kinds of everyday products. It is probably in a variety of products that are in all of our homes. So it's very difficult to avoid this chemical. I mean, I think the larger issue for people to consider is, you know, I think the C8 story is a very vivid illustration of the flaws in our system for regulating toxic chemicals.
What about work? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the chemicals are presumed safe until proven otherwise. And by the time a chemical is proved safe, in the case of C8, it really took extraordinary effort on the part of this community to expose the fact that this chemical was hazardous. But by the time this was exposed, the chemical is everywhere. And it stays in the environment. You know, it will be here probably for thousands of years, even after it is phased out.
A large part of your story involved employee safety. Some employees said that they handled C8 with their bare hands, inhaled furnace fumes where heat-tested Teflon was brought up to 700 degrees. There was the whole issue of pregnant women. You interviewed a woman named Sue Bailey who worked at the plant, worked with C8 waste while she was pregnant. And her son was born with that birth defect that you say was detected in rats.
Yes. So As I mentioned before, in 1981, there was a study showing that C8 caused eye and nostril defects in rats, eye defects in particular. And at that point, DuPont started monitoring female employees who had come into contact with C8, and they found 2 of 9 pregnant workers that year gave birth to babies with eye defects. One of them was Sue Bailey, who I interview in the story, and there's a beautiful video interview of her speaking on the site. She's quite an impressive woman. But yes, Sue Bailey gave birth to this baby who had only half a nose, and his eye, basically his eye was severely deformed, and she didn't even know that she had been exposed to this toxic chemical. She returned to work and found a memo on the bench of the locker room talking about this chemical called C8 that had caused birth defects in rats, and at that point she began to make the connection. But she didn't learn until years later that DuPont had been monitoring her pregnancy and had actually determined that the rate of birth defects among female employees at the plant was significantly higher than would be expected in the general population. In fact, she didn't learn until I told her that DuPont had been monitoring her pregnancy.
Is that legal to secretly monitor somebody?
I don't know about the legality of it. It certainly isn't ethical.
Now, eventually, DuPont paid out $16.5 million to settle the charges of a C8. How much does the company make each year on C8 products?
Well, on C8 products, C8 and related products, it made $1 billion a year. It phased the chemical out last year, but it has replaced it with other similar chemicals.
Can we be reassured that those similar chemicals will be any safer than C8, or will they just have a slightly different composition?
The chemicals that are replacing C8 are structurally very similar to C8.
That's not reassuring.
No, it's not. And relatively little is known about the health effects, but the little data that is available suggests that it may have similar health effects to C8. Now, DuPont would argue that these chemicals are safer because they break down more rapidly than C8, but they're also less effective, so they need to be used in larger quantities to achieve the same results, and this has caused a good deal of alarm in the scientific community. In fact, in May, 200 scientists from around the globe published a letter in Environmental Health Perspectives urging countries around the world to restrict the use of this chemical, or these chemicals, this family of chemicals.
We have about 10 seconds left, but callers have asked about identifying C8 in cat litter and dental floss. Is there any way of knowing?
I'm afraid there is not. Most of the products in the market today will not have C8 itself in them, but they may have C8 replacements. And I wish I had answers for them, but unfortunately, I do not. There is no way to tell.
Mariah Blake's article called "Welcome to Beautiful Parkersburg, West Virginia" can be found in the Huffington Post Highline. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.